morning, everybody. If you want to take your seats, that'd be fantastic. Lovely. You're all really welcome. Let's have a little prayer before we start. I'm going to read from Revelation chapter 3. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him, and he with me. Father God, we come today listening for your knock. Lord, help us to respond, to open the door to you, to take what you've brought for us today, learn it, think about it, and move forward in your love. Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Passing over to Carol, I think.
Good everybody. Good to be together anyway this morning. And welcome back, YouTubers, that we weren't able to live stream last week, of course, because we had the family service. But it's lovely to be back with you this week. The family service was absolutely brilliant. The youngsters did an amazing job and we had a really lovely time. I don't wish to rub it in, but we did. If you could have been here, it would have been great. But we appreciate that you're all able to join us again this week. We look forward to the rest of the service that's going to be carrying on when I've just finished spouting. So thanks for the sung worship again. Always a good way to start our morning services by praising the Lord. And David is going to be speaking to us shortly and we will be taking communion as well. After this morning's service, we're having a very short church members meeting. There's just something that we need to discuss very quickly. So if you could grab a cuppa and make your way next door when it's all and the service is finished, that would be good. It shouldn't take very long, but it's something that we do need to talk about. And I'd just like to say a very special welcome to Dave Sansbury, known to many of us, maybe not all, but many of us. He's been coming to our church for quite a few years now, initially a friend of Malcolm and Marbeth, but I'm sure he's made quite a lot of friends over the years. It's good to have you with us, Dave, all the way from Australia. If you'd like a chance to meet him and chat with him more a bit more, find out about his work as an evangelist and perhaps get a few more tips about how we can share our faith, he will be down here at church next Saturday at 10 o'clock, so just pop in and I'm sure it'll be a good, you might even get a cup of tea. It'll be a good time together and he's going to be available then, so please do that if you'd like to. So next, tomorrow, the ladies' meeting will be meeting at 1 o'clock this week, and they're having a picnic at Malcolm and Marbeth's. So that's something to look forward to tomorrow. It will be the last meeting until September. We just trust that the weather is okay so you can enjoy a meal outside. And tomorrow evening at 7:30, the trustees will be meeting. We've got quite a few things to discuss, so please bear us in mind in your prayers. And the mums and tops will be happening on Tuesday as normal this week. Now, I've been mentioning for a while that Sunday the 17th of July, we have a visit from our missionary family and we'll be leading the morning service and then we're going to be having a buffet lunch afterwards. So the church will provide all the sandwiches, courtesy of one of our supermarkets. But we would like donations of extras, please, if possible. So sweet and savoury. And we would like a rough idea for catering purposes. So put a list. I love my lists, don't I? Put them one at the back. And I've also done some little slips of items that we need. So when you go to the back and have a look, you'll see. And if you could just take one of the slips and perhaps write it on. It's just so that we know what we're getting and we don't get like 200 sausage rolls and no cakes. You know what I mean? So that's all it's for. If you can't donate, please don't worry. It's not a problem. But over the next couple of weeks, if you could just do that and then we can find out what we need to buy. As usual, website, Facebook page, weekly updates will be going out again this week. But as I always say, if anyone has anything that need to speak about, please do get in touch with one of us. Not surprisingly, I have a reflection from my UCB Word for Today note, something the past couple of weeks that caught my eye. And I thought, I think that's probably something worth sharing. It's based on 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7, and it's that tells us that God loves a cheerful giver. I think probably many of you will have seen the film Schindler's List. I haven't actually, but I know it's been out a few years now, and it made quite an impact, I think, when it was released. It tells of one man's efforts to make the most of a very desperate situation. And as the director of a munitions factory in Poland, Oskar Schindler decided to use this position to save Jewish lives. And by employing them in his factory, Schindler rescued many condemned Jews from the gas chambers. But keeping them employed was costly, and little by little, he liquidated his personal property to keep his business afloat. And at the end of the story, the Nazis are defeated, and the full impact of Schindler's efforts is revealed. In one scene, kneeling by the train tracks that had carried thousands to their deaths, Schindler had a startling realization. He could have saved a few more, and he was overwhelmed with regret. If he had known when the war would end and he hadn't kept the few remaining assets he had, he felt that he could have done more. Oskar Schindler was a hero, a remarkable man who is credited with saving more Jews during World War II than any other single person. But all he could think was about what he didn't do. Sometimes that's the case, isn't it? The people that do the most are the ones that feel they could have done that little bit more. Giving comes in many different ways. And I suppose the first thing that springs to mind when we talk about giving is financial giving, which of course is very important, but there are other important ways as well. What about giving of our time? Visiting those who are vulnerable or in need. Making time to listen to someone when they need to talk, volunteering for work with charities. We can never lose out by giving. Because in 2 Corinthians 9, verses 6 to 8, we read, and this is the CEV version, a few seeds make a small harvest, but a lot of seeds make a big harvest. Each of us must make up our own minds, of course, what we want to give. But God loves people who love to give. God loves a cheerful giver. And God can bless us with everything that we need. We will always have more than enough to do all kinds of good things for others. In other words, if we are a blessing to others, we ourselves will be blessed. We'll all eventually stand before God. Our salvation is secure. We know that we're saved by grace and nothing can take that away. But we will be asked to account for what we've done in our lives, what we have given. Will we be satisfied that we've given as much as we could? Or will we feel, like Oskar Schindler, that we could have done more? Thank you.
This morning's reading is Psalm 22, which is on page 457 in the Church Bibles. Why have you forsaken me? To the choir master, according to the Doe of the Dawn, a psalm of David. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me from the words of my groaning? O my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer, and by night, but I find no rest. Yet you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel. In you our fathers trusted. They trusted, and you delivered them. To you they cried and were rescued. In you they trusted and were not put to shame. But I am a worm and not a man, scorned by mankind and despised by the people. All who see me mock me. They make mouths at me. They wag their heads. He trusts in the Lord. Let him deliver him. Let him rescue him, for he delights in him. Yet you are he who took me from the womb. You made me trust at my mother's breast. On you was I cast from my birth. And from my mother's womb you have been my God. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, and there is none to help. Many bulls encompass me, strong bulls of Bashan surround me. They open wide their mouths at me like a ravening and roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax, it is melted within my breast. My strength is dried up like the potsherd, and my tongue sticks to my jaws. You lay me in the dust of death. For dogs encompass me, a company of evildoers encircle me. They have pierced my hands and feet. I can count all my bones. They stare and gloat over me. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. But you, O Lord, do not be far off. O you, my help, come quickly to my aid. Deliver my soul from the sword, my precious life from the power of the dog. Save me from the mouth of the lion. You have rescued me from the horns of the wild oxen. I will tell of your name to my brothers. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you offspring of Jacob, glorify him and stand in awe of him, all you offspring of Israel. For he has not despised or abhorred the afflictions of the afflicted, and he has not hidden his face from him, but has heard when he cried to him. From you comes my praise in the great congregation. My vows I will perform before those who fear him. The afflicted shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him shall praise the Lord. May your hearts live forever. All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations shall worship before you. For kingship belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations. All the prosperous of the earth eat and worship. Before him shall bow all who go down to the dust. Even the one who could not keep himself alive. Prosperity shall serve him. It shall be told to the Lord, to the coming generation. They shall come and proclaim his righteousness to the people yet unborn, that he has done it.
Yeah, thank you, Suzanne, for reading us that there. And it's great that we look at Scripture in its fullest, in its whole, together. And I want to extend my warm welcome to you all as we come to look at what God is saying to us through this psalm, which is an extremely important psalm. And so as we come to it, let's pray. Father, would you open our hearts, our ears and our minds to receive from you this morning what it is that you're saying to us, Lord, through your word. May we feast upon your word and may we be nourished by every single word of it. Lord, strike our hearts and reveal to us by your Holy Spirit what it is you're saying to us today through your word. We ask this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Well, here we are in July and we're going to be looking at the Psalms again. If you remember back last year, some of us can't remember what we did yesterday. I can't remember what I had for breakfast. But anyway, if you remember what we said last year, is that over the next few years, we'll be looking at the Psalms around this time of the year. And here we are. And that's what we're going to be doing over the next 5 weeks. We're going to be looking at the Psalms in particular. I'll have a few of them. Then there's Rob next week. So we look forward to what he has to say. But in particular, what I'm going to be focusing upon is Psalm 22, 23 and 24, and I'm entitling it The Shepherd because it brings about the trilogy, if you like, of Christ. Christ the Shepherd in Psalm 22, the Good Shepherd that dies for his sheep. Psalm 23, the Great Shepherd who lives for his sheep and cares for them. And Psalm 24, the chief shepherd returns in glory to reward his sheep for their service. So that's where we're going to be heading. That's where we're going over the next few weeks. Like I say, we'll enjoy what Rob's got to say to us next week as well with that. And also maybe what the Mahons will bring on the week after, on the 17th. We'll see what they say. But I think it's fair to say here that no fellow Christian can look at Psalm 22 and without thinking of the crucifixion. It is there, it's vividly confronted of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Saviour. Sure, there's some personal experience of suffering that prompted the psalm, and David multiplies it in order to plumb something of the suffering that is awaiting the greater Son. And so in here, through his pain, it also speaks out of Jesus, and it just shows that the suffering that arose from this, from the psalmist of David and from Jesus himself at that crucifixion, also plumbs down into what we feel today and how we can relate to that in our often desperate trials. And I wonder if you've ever read something, bless you, and thought, that's me right there. What was written is just speaking into my life exactly at this moment, in this time, in this desperation, in these trials. And that's written, and what I'm going through, what I've experienced. Well, just for a moment, picture, if you can, Jesus is sat there and he's looking through what was written about him. He is growing up, he's going to synagogue and the scrolls are open and he reads them and he sings them because the psalms are to be sung. And he reads what will happen to him. And the very first words that he reads is, my God, why have you forsaken me? In Psalm 22, he reads, he sings it. But yet here on the cross, these are the very first words that he speaks of when he is up on that cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? He's reading of what will happen to him, of the experience that he is going to go through. And of course, it continues where it says, why are you so far from saving me? I'm a worm, not a man. Everyone despises me. My bones are out of joint. My mouth is dried up. My tongue clings to my jaw. What must it have been like for Christ to read that and know that that is exactly what he is going to experience? Like I say often, we read something and it's reading of something that's happened. Yeah, I can look into that. I can relate to that because that's happened at such a point. But yet here, Christ is reading of what is going to happen to him and know of what is coming. Now, just to read the first part of the psalm would just give greater cause and fear and distress. But if you continue to read beyond that, as Christ would have done, you would see that there's a turning point, there's rescue, there's great victory, there's the greatest victory of what is yet to come. Everyone is coming to celebrate. Even those yet unborn will hear that he has done it, as it says right at the end of this psalm. In other words, what John writes and witnesses about, where Christ says upon that cross in John 19, verse 30, for me, where the New Testament starts, it is finished. Christ has the victory. Here is the victory cry that is declared to all people, for all generations that have been, that is now, and that will come. He has done it. And so the whole of Psalm 22, if you like, is happening on the cross. It may seem grim of what is being endured, but Jesus, in a sense, faced it with joy. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't mean that he kicked up his heels, going along doing a merry jig with the cross on his back, going to his death, and was like, spray me out and get me up there, guys. I'm ready for it. It wasn't a party. It wasn't a joyous thing, but he faced it knowing of the greatest victory that would come. He faced it knowing of what this meant, that the price would be paid once and for all. And with that victory declared, it is finished. You can relate that, if you like, to Hebrews 12, where it says the joy that is set before him. the joy that is set before him. He endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat at the right hand of the throne of God. And get this, where he says, and consider him who endures such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary or lose heart. So that you will not grow weary or lose heart. And you can take that into whatever situation you face, whatever trial or temptation or deliverance that you're going through at a time. Know and consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary or lose heart. How amazing is that to know that Jesus did all of that for us, for all mankind? I think it's because as we look, Jesus knew the whole of Psalm 22. That the joy of this victory, this celebration, if you like, having accomplished all that the cross would accomplish, death defeated, sin and shame no more. There's the joy. There's the joy that he knows that in this horrific act that he endures and will go through, that there will be sin and shame no more, that humanity will be reconciled to Abba Father through this one salvific act. Maybe knowing that helps us to understand a little better Psalm 22, how it played a role in Jesus being able to face the cross with joy, how he fed on every word that comes from Father God, and it shaped his life and it shaped his understanding of his mission that he came to do. And maybe in that understanding, it gave him that strength and that ability to go forward and set his face to Jerusalem, telling Peter to get behind me, Satan, because you're not stopping me. I have to go and do it. You don't understand what I'm saying. I've got to go and do this. And I'll face it. And I'll face it with joy because I know of the victorious celebration that is going to come afterwards. Because through all of this, it is finished. Death and sin defeated forevermore. And when we read scripture, when we take it as a whole, when we see its honesty about the hard things of life, and we see, though, that it makes the promises to us, of every word that comes, it provides that imagery of what is yet to come. A kingdom now, but not quite yet, but what is yet to come. A kingdom that we may experience just a minute inertia of peace of. But yet what is going to become in its full glory and in its full majesty and its full awesomeness of when we stand face to face with Christ and we see the new heaven and all its glory of what is to come. From the very foundations of earth that it was created for us. So when we read this, maybe it can give us joy and anticipation to change how we face difficulties in the here and now. It's not only these words that we hear and that we read, but as Barbara brought out earlier in Psalm 35, even, you spoke of Psalm 32, 35, didn't you? Yes. Someone did, yeah. But it is where we find our identity. It's where we find we can hide within Christ. Not that we hide away in shame and in scorn because Christ came and did away with all that. But where we find our refuge, where we find our strong tower, our shelter in Christ. And so through this imagery that we get of this kingdom, and as we read it, the anticipation that it gives us to change how we face the difficulties in the here and now, and take and see the good shepherd as he dies for his sheep. And that is often very hard to come to grips with, that someone had to die for all of this. Why should they do that? Why did they do that? Seek Christ and he'll tell you why. Here, as we read, this is an area to grow in, if you like. This example that we have, you can't take this psalm and just jump into the second half of it without seeing the beginning part of it and understanding the darkness and the pain and the misery of all that went on there from the beginning of, my God, why have you forsaken me, in order to get the picture. This is an area to grow in. This is an area where we come to know God more, where we can grow in Christ, and when in the storms of life we overflow in the life of the Spirit, and where he speaks right into our very lives, into our very situations. But it's not all about coming to him in those times. It's about praising him in the good times as well as the bad. But how often are we just praising in the bad times and not quite often in the good? Because it's all too easy, isn't it? Life's a dream. It's going on. Take a seat. God, you're all right. I've got this. Oh, no, it's gone wrong. Where are you? Why are you so far from me? Why have you forsaken me? Are these not the things we do? Are these not the things we say? But it's about praising him in the good as well as in the bad. And that may make it easier then as we view and read the Psalms through the lens of understanding that Christ is always at the centre of them. Christ is always there in whatever situation we face. And let's face it, we read of some pretty horrific situations that these people went through at this time. And David, more than not, cries out through all of them. And you may pause and think, well, what about in Psalm 1 then? If you have, turn back to it. Psalm 1, you know, where's Christ in all of this? Well, when you look at it, and it says, blessed is the one who does not walk in the step of the wicked, or stand in the way the sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but who delights... whose delight is in the Lord of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. Where do we find ourselves at? What happens if we miss a day? What happens if we miss a week? What happens if we miss a month, or even if we miss a year of meditating and praying? What happens then? And we don't delight in it. We don't delight in the situations that we find ourselves in. We don't delight in coming to Father God in prayer and in praise and in worship. We don't delight in sitting with God and reading his word and taking time. We don't delight in the silence and not hearing of him. And maybe complaining because he seems so far off. Maybe what we need is the one that it speaks of. Blessed is the one. Well, the one here is Jesus Christ, because it's here that Jesus Christ is the very person, like the tree planted by the streams of water. He is the one which yields the fruit in its season and whose leaves do not wither. He is the one that delights and has always been in the law of the Lord day and night. This is the one maybe that we need. What would it be to be grafted into a life like that? By faith we can. Not necessarily by in our faith, but by faith in Christ Jesus. The faith that he has in that relationship, that beautiful relationship, that Trinitarian relationship of Father, Son and Spirit. Working in unity together for now and for always. Maybe in that faith and in that strength and in that understanding, that grace and mercy, we can too be delivered through that. Because here in this Psalm 22, David believes that God will lead him out of despair. He looks forward to a time when God rules. And let's be honest, in all honesty, we do too, do we not? Especially the way the world is going at the moment. The way we face things. The whole breadth of our experience is here. The desolation, the hostility, the pain, the death. Yet all our hope is found in Christ alone. All our faith is found in Christ alone. All our hope. You see, you can look even forward into Timothy, if you like, and Paul, where he said to him the importance of Old Testament scriptures, where he learned as a child. And it says, but you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them from. And that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. It's all pointing back to him. And it's especially true of the book of Psalms. That's why I think it's important we become more familiar with them. That's why I cannot express enough that we need to read more, pray more, worship more, individually and collectively together in our fellowship, so we get to learn and know and understand more of God. Because these are charged with emotions, often when we can't find the words to express how we're feeling or what's going on, you will find it through the Psalms. You will find it here. And so in this psalm in particular, Psalm 22, we see what is often called the crossover psalm, the psalm of the cross. Because much of the suffering that is being detailed here with David is literally fulfilled in the crucifixion of Jesus. You can see that as you look back at that psalm, at those words. Where the four gospel writers, if you like, speak of it as a witnessing. Here, Jesus is literally this messianic foretelling of it. Is Jesus living it through and breathing it through? It reveals from the viewpoint from Jesus himself, the shepherd who dies for his sheep. And here we see that the contrasting picture of this suffering between David and Jesus, that he was abandoned by the Lord. For Jesus, it was on the cross, as you read in Matthew 27. For where the people are surrounding him by the enemies who feels forsaken by God. It's described figuratively here for David about the many bulls that have surrounded him. Literally, it was fulfilled for Jesus by the people that surrounded him at the foot of the cross, that despised and mocked him and tore his clothes from him and cast lots for his garments as he hung there. The very words of the chief priests and the scribes who mocked him. The piercing of his hands and his feet. He was despised by the people. And yet David somehow found a way through. And for us, it's Jesus who will show us the way through and who will lead us through and bring us to a point where we can learn even in the toughest of times. And so that's why I say it's important to pray, to praise. Praise him when the doors are closed. Praise him in the corridors. Praise him until the next door opens of opportunity and you're able to walk through in glorious victory. Not of in your own doing, but of what Christ will lead you through to. And see that he has the victory. When you're tormented by words, by dreams, by events, by fear, seek Jesus and know that he is always with you through his Holy Spirit. The words we often use, our guide, our counselor, our comforter, are all in all. Because it's maybe the deliverance that we need. And David looks to God here as his helper. And through this you see the sufferer being delivered by God. And we see God praising him in the middle of the assembly. Let all who fear God praise him. Let the descendants of Jacob honor him. Let all of Israel praise his name. For the kingdom is the Lord and he is the ruler amongst the nations. Deliverance. We've heard that twice this morning already. Who's seeking deliverance here? Who needs deliverance and a breakthrough of something that's going on in their lives? You may not want to raise your hand and say, but I guarantee there's people that are needing deliverance from the things that are oppressing them, from the things that are keeping them from bursting out in joy and in praise of what Christ is wanting to do for them. Whether it's through the loss of something or someone, whether it's through others oppressing, there's deliverance in Jesus' name. If we seek deliverance, then we need to seek him who will deliver us from it. We need to seek God. We need to call upon his name as David does and even as Christ does and seek the breakthrough that we're needing. We may be suffering in one way or another, but God will never cease to amaze us because he answers. We hear of that so many times throughout Scripture. He comes and he calls, he hearkens to the cry. People often feel that he's so far off and he's not listening at all. He's a God that doesn't care. He's a God that's not interested, but far from the truth. He is a God that sees and knows and hears. And he comes in the rejoicing. He comes in the pain and the misery. when we call upon his name, know that he hears the cry and see where he's guiding and where he's leading and where he's going to take you next. And that may be through a whole hurt of pain and trouble. Not that he's taking you through that, but that is what you may need to go through. But that's where we can hide in Christ, in our shelter, in our strong tower, in our shield, in our defence. It's where we can ride upon the wings of eagles, not to go above and miss the storm, but to be able to get through that storm and know you will stand firm and strong on the other side. And you will. Whether it's in this life or the life to come. Whatever it is you go through, you will go through it. And you will know that in taking that tough situation that you face, there will be comfort. Because we need to know the good shepherd who died for the sheep, for you and for me. The one who was abandoned, despised, mocked, ridiculed, condemned by the law. But yet Christ has the victory and he reigns forevermore. He stands victorious because Christ is King. So let's praise him in those dark times. Let's praise him in the good times. And before long, we'll do nothing more than praise him all the day long. For humanity will tell of what God has done and what God will continue to do. And as I close, as we look towards the end of this psalm, the very words that David speaks here through that prayer that carries us from great suffering to great joy, no matter what we go through, no matter what we face, despite apparent rejection by all that is around, by his friends and even by God, as he says, David believed that God would lead him out of despair. He looked forward to that day when God would rule over the entire earth. Because he says in these last few verses here, posterity shall serve him. It shall be told of the Lord to the coming generation. They shall come and proclaim his righteousness to a people yet unborn. He has done it. He has done it. It is finished. The good shepherd who died for his sheep. The people yet unborn shall hear of God's justice and say that he has done it. Just like at the back of our Bibles in Revelation, as it says there, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony, we will overcome. It leads us on to say that even though we may walk in the shadow of the valley of death, we will fear no evil. For his rod and his staff, it comforts us. Let's pray. Father God, it often leaves us sometimes dumbstruck and in awe of just what you have done for us. But as Tina prayed this morning, it's not just what you've done, but it's who you are. It's who you are, Jesus. The name above all names. It is what you came to be. It's how you came to be in our lives. It's how you came to reconcile humanity to Abba Father. And showing the way that is most excellent for each and every one. Though it may not be paths that we may choose. Though it may not be an understanding that we would see immediately or may not ever see. But that in faith through you, and by your deliverance, by your salvation that is so freely given to all, we may know to come and understand and know you a little bit more. That we may grow in you and that we may overflow in life and understand that, Lord, you have done it. It is finished. And the pain and the misery that it took to get there, but see that turning point of that victorious cry and that victorious battle won. Death defeated, sin and shame no more. Lord, we want to live into that. We want to be grafted into that. And by faith, we can be. So, Lord, I pray that you would guide us all of our days. I pray that by your Spirit, you would breathe new life into us each and every day. That we would seek you with every ounce of fibre and being that we are, created by you, to love you and to know you. So, Lord, I pray that you would continue to abundantly bless us and anoint us in what you would have us do for your mission to see your kingdom come here in this area. So, Father, we pray. We bless your name and we simply ask, come, Lord Jesus. Amen. Let's just take a moment and reflect as we come around his table. We simply say, God of welcome, you invite us into your family. We sit at your table and savour your word to us. Lord, as we've sung there, what can be said? What can be done? What can we give? Lord, maybe you would speak into our hearts to that. Lord, it may be a challenge for some to be able to come to your table. And Lord, I pray that in this moment you would speak in to each of our hearts. Help us to receive all the nourishment you have for us today. Help us to see who you are. And know that it is good. So we're invited to come around the Lord's table to those who belong to the household of Christ. It's in his house, it's at his table that we find ourselves, brothers and sisters, who in our baptized lives live out all that Christ has done through the death and the resurrection. And so together, the family of the reborn, of the reconciled, of the united, who inhabit the universe of grace, come in thanksgiving to the one who gave it all. And so, Lord, as we remember your death and resurrection, of the one who is our life and our meaning, we come first to die to all that is loveless. All that is dying and all that has died in dealing in our lives. We come, Lord, where Jesus commands us to love you with all our heart, all our mind, all our soul and all our strength. But often there are things that get in the way of that. So we take a moment in our confession to consider the reality of our living. And within our hearts, we lift up to God those things that may prevent us from coming to truly praise and worship him. And so as Jesus commands us to love our neighbours in the same way that we are to love ourselves, Lord, we seek and ask that you forgive us for the times when we may have been selfish, hard-hearted, mean-spirited, for the things that we may have said or done. And Lord, we seek you and pray that by your grace you will melt and warm our hearts. And know that you promise that if we confess our sins, that you are faithful and just to forgive and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so may it be. Amen. And so as we recall those that are committed and that spoke of the life of grace, we hear that story again, in particular from Luke chapter 22. When the hour had came and he reclined at table and the apostles with him. And he sat and he said to them, I've earnestly desired to eat the Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I'll not eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he said, take this and divide it amongst yourselves. For I tell you that from now on, I will not drink from the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And likewise, the cup after they had eaten, saying, this is the cup that is poured out for you, is the new covenant in my blood. And he says, but behold, the hand of him who betrays me is with me on the table. For the Son of Man goes as it is being determined, but woe to that man who he is betrayed. And so they sat and they ate together. Just as we would do too. And just as they give thanks, we also give thanks. Knowing that as Jesus, before he broke the bread and poured the wine, he gave thanks to you, Lord God. Giver of every good thing, of food, of drink, of companionship, of love, and all that gives us strength and delight. Like Jesus, we bless you and thank you for your generosity. Like Jesus, we give our all to you. And in doing this breaking of bread and drinking of cup, we do so in remembrance of all that Jesus is. Amen. So in breaking of that bread, as Jesus gave thanks, he said that this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in that same way of taking that cup, saying that this is my blood, poured out for all. This is the new covenant. Drink this in remembrance of me. For as often as we eat of this bread and drink of this cup, we do so in remembrance of the Lord until he comes again and drinks in the new kingdom of God that is yet to come. Please take as it comes round and eat the bread, which is gluten-free. Hold and retain the cup and we'll drink as a sign of our unity together. If for whatever reason you can't partake of the elements, then please allow them to pass by without any fear or embarrassment. But take, feast and be nourished by the bread and the blood of Christ. And so in our unity together as brothers and sisters in Christ, we remember that his blood poured out for each and everyone in remembrance of him. Amen. Father God, as we turn in these days ahead, we pray that you will go with us so that we can love in all sincerity, loathing what is evil and clinging to what is good, being devoted to one another as brothers and sisters in that triunion relationship of Father, Son and Holy Spirit, that we find ourselves a part of that. With your help, we'll bless those who may persecute, blessing not cursing, will not repay evil for evil, will not be overcome by evil, but by the power of your Spirit, we will overcome evil with good. Go with us, good Lord, and live in us the life of the kingdom. the kingdom that we have a foretaste of now, but yet of what is to come. And may grace and peace to you from God the Father and of the Lord Jesus be upon us now and forevermore. Amen. Lord, in this time, we just lift the many terrible situations that our crumbling, chaotic world is facing right now. Lord, we think of our brothers and sisters that right now across the world that are held in servicing, holding services in fear. Particularly in some of those in the African nations where gunmen may burst in at any time. Only too recently we heard of that happening and the tragic loss of life. Lord, it's in these situations we pray your protection and we pray, Lord, that you would just keep everyone safe. We pray, Lord, for those that seek to do evil, that their hearts would be broken, that their lives would be transformed at the name of Jesus. Lord, we think of the ongoing situation in the Middle East. We think of that's going on in Eastern Europe. And Lord, even in the places of South America, there are so many places that are gripped by fear and by war. And for what, Lord? For what? Greed? For power? Father, we just pray that you would just sweep across these nations. We pray that by the power of your Holy Spirit, lives will be transformed. That at the name of Jesus, every tongue will confess and every knee will bow. Lord, we want to see a transformation. We believe that there will be. And Lord, we hasten that day when all will stand together, shoulder to shoulder, and declare Christ is King. So Lord, we pray for the troubled nations. We pray for our own country, our own community. The leaders that are in power to change and do things, Lord, would you speak into their hearts and bring about the transformation? Lord, we pray for those that we know that are maybe in hospital at the moment, waiting for hospital appointments, having operations or had and in recovery, Lord. We pray your healing hand upon them. We pray for those in poverty. We pray for those in need. Again, we speak of this deliverance and pray that you come and bring life and life to its full. So, Lord, give us this day. Help us to share Christ with those that we meet. Help us to go from here in the strength of the Spirit and to be Christ-like to all who we come across in what we do and in what we say. We ask this in your name forevermore. Amen.
Lord, thank you. Lord, we pray that this week you would help us to follow you with full obedience and faith through the dark times and the light times, but always trusting in your name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Thank you very much. God bless.